plastic bag, drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel this so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you. You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just own the night like the 4th of July. 'Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show 'em what.
Hello, my darlings. It is Wednesday, September 4th. Can you believe it is already September 4th? Holy balls. And it is bright and beautiful and not a million degrees, so I'm a happy bunny. You are listening to the Sit a Spell Show. This is Lisa Lee. Normally, my partner in crime, Teresa, would be here, but instead she is doing something really cool. She's getting her soul, a soul picture taken? Or painted or something like that. Anyway, so she sends her love, but she is not going to be able to be here tonight. So I decided that I'm going to hijack the show and it's going to be all different. Ha ha ha. Too bad, T. But do me a favor, listeners. Don't tell her anything. Zip it. Because she never needs to know what went on between us tonight. What happens at Sit a Spell stays at Sit a Spell. So instead, I've got the wonderful and amazing and very hot, very handsome sweetheart who has a heart of gold, Josh Hadley, my producer. He is going to join me tonight and be my guest co-host. Hello, Joshy.
You are the biggest liar I have ever heard in my entire life.
I am not. You're awesome.
You're a liar. And I believe, is aura photography the correct thing she's having?
Nope. Not aura photography. Aura photography is something that I do with my friend. Oh, God, I just lost his name. Oh, my God. He's going to kill me. Anyway, okay.
Well, you are blonde, so.
And I drank a whole bottle of Coca-Cola. So I'm shaky, but I'm also a little hopped up. So
but
if
hey,
that's
but hey listeners, here's something. When Lisa and I were trying to connect before the show.
Oh, shit. I mean, shoot.
We connected, and she kept going, I can't hear, why can't you hear me? I asked her, is your mic plugged in? She's like, yeah, and then she plugged her mic in. Helps, doesn't it, Blondie?
A little bit. A little teeny bit. This last weekend was a long weekend for everybody, except for me, because I'm unemployed. But I went on Friday with my friend Tom, and we went and saw The Conjuring. Me, this was the second time. I actually made it through watching it 80% of the movie this time. I still did have my napkin up to my eyes, just like a blankie, but I actually got to watch it about 80% of it. And I ate popcorn for dinner, which to normal people is no big deal.
Which I yelled at you about.
Yes, you did. Because I've got old man's disease, which is actually diverticulitis. The popcorn didn't go well, and I was out for the count for the rest of the entire weekend. Today is the first day that I'm not feeling like total death. So that's what I did this week. Really nothing. I looked for jobs. I hung out with family and friends. I went swimming with my little nieces in my sister's new pool. And, yeah, I lead such an exciting life, let me tell you. What about you, Josh? Did you do anything fun?
I wrote an article, I looked up, researched some stuff for a future article, and pretty much I beat Saints Row 4 for a second time.
Wow, we are exciting.
Yeah. that's pretty much my life right now, too. So, eat it.
Eat it. Oh, speaking of eating, though, so T and I told you, I believe last week or the week before, or both, who knows, I'm on caffeine like I've
both.
Never seen before. Okay. Whoa. We're putting out a cookbook. The Sit a Spell Show is putting out a cookbook based on the Wheel of the Year. So we have been getting recipes from everybody. And tried the first one out yesterday. It was chili, and oh my god, fan-frickin-tastic. And that was submitted by Mr. Tom Rydell. And Mr. Tom Rydell, your chili was awesome, and it is definitely going into the book, because if I can make it, anybody can. And that's the whole thing about the cookbook. Teresa's a great cook. I can pour milk over cereal. I'm not a good cook.
Lisa can burn Rice Krispies.
I totally could. In fact...
I mean while pouring the milk on them. They'll somehow just immolate. So, yeah. So, Lisa, then let me ask you something. Since you're all hopped up on caffeine...
It's so awesome! I'm not kidding.
So I drink milk
all the time.
Is this going to be a regular thing, then?
I think it might have to be, because, wow.
So now do you understand where Ashley was coming from in the previous episodes? Yeah. Whenever she'd get hopped up?
I kind of totally do. I feel fantastic and wired, and it's going to suck when I have to go to bed tonight, because I've got to babysit my nieces in the morning, and I've got to be there by 7:15, and I don't know how I'm going to sleep.
Well, is it any worse than when you worked?
No, but I didn't drink caffeine.
Well, all right. I can't imagine you without coffee in front of you, though.
I hate coffee.
Tea.
Tea, yes. My tea was always deep. No, I'm a big-time tea drinker, but my tea is decaf. So I don't usually drink anything other than water or tea.
Is there a demolition derby going on outside your window? Jeez!
I don't know
if the audience will be able to hear that, but I can.
It does sound quite loud out there, doesn't it? It's because the windows are open for the first time in days, because it's been 1,000 degrees here.
I'm your typical Minnesotan.
I can't be pleased with our weather at all. If it's snowing, I'm bitchy. If it's too hot, I'm bitchy. I just don't like to be uncomfortable.
I think what you just described was being an American.
Oh, okay. Well, then I am proud to be American.
American?
American. I'm an American.
Well, speaking of that...
If we go after Syria, though, I don't know... I know that's a touchy subject. We're not supposed to be political, but I'm just going to tell you my feelings on that right now. I don't know what it's going to be like fighting side by side with Al-Qaeda, for one. And two, we have so many problems here in America. Can't we get our own shit straight first before trying to straighten other people's stuff out?
Well, to be fair, now this is unconfirmed, but it's pretty one of those open secrets kind of thing.
Okay.
The chemical weapons that the Syrians are using, they might have got from us. So I think there's a little bit of responsibility involved in, oh, we didn't actually think you'd use them.
Are you kidding me?
Like I said, that's not confirmed, but that's the big thing is that, yeah, we used to sell chemical weapons to Syria, so they may be using ours on their people. So in a way, it's kind of our problem. But this could truly escalate, Lise, by the fact that Russia is allied with Syria. And if we invade Syria, then the Russians said, then you're declaring war on us, too.
Oh, Jesus.
So this could theoretically spiral out of control really, really fast.
Into World War III?
Possibly.
Great.
There's the possibility of it.
So dispels a Debbie Downer.
Well, on that note, why don't we add some candy airs, and then maybe that'll lift things a little.
Yay! So, welcome back to the show, Miss Dear Candy Airs. How are you today?
I am wonderfully well. How are you?
Good. You're still in Illinois, right?
Still in Illinois.
And didn't your daughter just become a high priestess?
Yes, she did.
Oh, congratulations!
Well, it was a wonderful event.
So what happens when you become a high priestess? What goes on with that?
Well, she went through all of her training. She did her first degree, her second degree, and her third degree, and did her 6 months as a high priestess in training, for lack of a better word, and now she's made it.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations to her. So what do you have? What's your wisdom for our evening?
Well, I have an author unknown quote, so if anyone out there knows where it comes from, please let me know. But it says, what you love, you empower. What you fear, you empower. What you empower, you attract.
Ooh, I like that. And it's 100% true, too.
Yes, it is.
Because I've always talked about, you know, the law of attraction, like attracts like, you know. And my own personal experience was when I felt like everything was in the toilet, even more stuff, bad stuff kept happening. Once I changed that mindset, then all of the bad just, like, honestly, instantly just poof, went away. And then it was all happy. It's all about your thought.
I agree. When I did the same thing, because I used to always just kind of, oh, I can't do that, or I don't have the money to do that. And yeah, I was fulfilling my own destiny.
So, you know, so how could we put that into use in today's day and age?
Well, I think that we have to start with the love and empower it and say, you know, I love myself. I love the things around me. And we have to not empower fear. And we do that a lot. We have a lot of fear in us. We're afraid to take a chance. We're afraid to express our love to people. We're afraid to ask for raises. We're just generally cocooned in fear for a lot of things. And when you feed on that fear, you build it. And then it becomes a brick wall that's very hard to get through of. So what we have to now, when our mind starts to say, I can't, or I fear that, change it. We have to change the words that we are sending out in our head and to the universe. Say, I can do that. I don't fear that. I may fear it, but I'm going to embrace it. And then when you start to empower those things, you will attract all the positive things that you need into your life. I think one of the things that we have to watch out for is we are bombarded by so much negativity that we tend to feed into it. So we have to stop that. And we have to physically stop ourselves and say, no, I won't do that.
So where do you think, because you're right, we're all so enlaced in fear, where do you think it all comes from?
Well, I think that a lot of the things come from childhood. We're taught to not go out and try that, not to do this. You know, don't try out for the cheerleading squad because you may not make it. Or don't try out for the chess club because you're not good enough. And then we begin to feed into it as we get older. And I think that what we've done is we've built that fear so hard that it's hard to break through. And now it's just an automatic thing to say, oh, I can't, or I fear that. And I think the word I can't is another word for I fear.
Technically, I can't is two words, but also, but also as a collective people, we engender fear. It's actually built into us. That's why a newborn baby is afraid of a snake or a spider coming at him. It's not he's taught that snake or that spider can hurt him. It's built right into him. That's why, like, even a dog, for example, if he doesn't know you, and I'm just talking like some random stray dog, he's going to be fearful of you until you've proved that you're not. I don't think fear is necessarily a bad thing.
Do you think that's like an evolutionary thing?
Or do you think it's an archetype memory kind of thing that's passed forward generation to generation?
I'm not so sure about that. I think it's actually a survival technique. It really is. I mean, I get what you're saying about fear. I'm not trying to crap on your ideals. But I'm not so sure fear, as described, is as bad as most people, no pun intended, fear it is.
I agree with you. I think that when the fear of fire, don't touch the hot stove, or don't do that. Those are all built in, I believe those are excellent fears. They keep us from harming ourselves or someone else. I think what I'm talking about more is the fear that keeps us from going forward in our lives or paralyzes us to the point where we can't leave our home.
It's good wisdom, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I think it needs to be more compartmentalized since some fears are better than others.
I agree with you. That was a very good point to bring up, because when I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about just the fears that keep you from moving on in your life and doing things. And I tend to forget about the instinctual survival skills that come with us to protect us from being harmed.
So there you go.
Candy, as always, you are amazing. Just adore you. Thank you so much for being on our show again and for, you know, generating your amazing wisdom.
We'll see y'all next week. Bye.
All right, have a good weekend.
You too. Bye.
So you are listening to the Cityspell Show. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Everybody, yeah, rock your body right. Back streets back. Again, brothers, sisters, everybody sing. Gonna bring the flame, I'll show you how. Got a question for you, better answer now. Yeah,
am I original?
Welcome back. I've got an amazing guest on tonight. Her name is Jane Clark, and she is one of the people that put on the Festival of the Goddess in Austin, Texas. Jane, welcome back to the show.
Hi, glad to be here.
You are such, we still talk about you from our last interview. You are just wonderful. You were one of our favorite people to have on the show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I really enjoyed talking to y'all too. It's good to have like-minded people in your life.
Definitely. And unfortunately, T is not with us tonight. She is off getting a soul picture done. So it's just you and me and Josh.
Ah, that's all right. Tell her hi.
I will. We're hijacking the show from her. Haha. So, but we're telling everybody not to tell her. So
it's a surprise.
So if nobody says that we hijacked the show, I can't get in trouble. So tell me about the festival.
Well, this is the 21st anniversary. We've run these for 21 years, and it's held on a private property out in the Texas Hill Country, and we gather together in spiritual space in a lovely Hill Country setting. It's along a creek bottom and spring-fed creek, so we do have water in it, even though we're suffering through this horrific drought here. And there are vendors, there are workshops, there are circles.
What kind of workshops are you having?
We've had all kinds in the past. I'm not sure what's on the rolls right now. There's been incense building workshop. You work with energetics and vibrational builds, and for whatever purpose you need to work with. And that's really wise women. And then belly dance workshops, because it was an early form of worship. And women together dancing their hearts. And that's pretty powerful. We've had chanting workshops. We've had yoga workshops. We've had self-healing workshops with really, really smart chiropractors. We've done movement workshops. We've done dance. It just goes on and on. It's created by the women themselves. If you have a knowledge or some wisdom to share, there's the temple is used. We build the temple every year, and that's created by all of us, but there's always a form. And we always have a goddess we focus on. So we have the temple space. We have down by the creek space. We have a pavilion, and all of these are used. We also have a maidens program, which is one of the most powerful things that this festival has accomplished. Is we've actually raised young women in a space where they are celebrated their wisdom and their strength, and their knowledge is celebrated. And we have amazing young women coming up in our community as a result of this festival. And you can register online. I will say that we have a Facebook page. You can like us there and find out the links to the registration page. There's food questions that you can answer about what kind of food you want. We have a meal served and catered to us. It's camping. There's a few indoor spaces available. And that's first come, first serve by request, and there's an additional fee around that. What else can I say about this? We have a fire pit. If the drought will allow it, we will have fire and drumming and singing down by the fire late at night, and that's a pretty special thing. One of the highlights of the festival is the the talent show. Ooh. And this is a really talented group of women, and the maidens put on their own show to go along with this earlier in the evening, and then once they're gone, it's more adult. And the first time I went to the festival, I was like, well, how much fun can this be? You know, I was not so inclined to go. And I cannot tell you, I think I hit every emotion, tears of joy, just bending over laughing as hard as you can possibly laugh, cheering loudly for the amazing thing that's being done up there. It's just, I will never miss another one ever in my life. It's just, if you can't do anything else at the festival, that alone is incredible.
It sounds amazing.
We reach out to women, not just in the Austin area, but beyond. Some people fly in just to come, or travel in just to do this festival. And we are so grateful to them and their presence. We have a raffle. That's part of our talent show night. And we also have a free thing. If you've got extra whatever or you want to give something away, we do that. And it's just powerful to be in a space where there's no men at all. It's all us. We can take care of ourselves. And I would not miss it for the world. And we hope we get a lot of enthusiastic women this year that we can share this lovely thing with.
It sounds absolutely phenomenal. I mean, wow. So how much does it cost to go?
I think it's under $100. I can't tell you how much. I think it's $88 for some reason. I don't know why I say that. It's reasonable. It gets you the use of the space. We've extended it this year for 3 days because for the women who travel a great distance, 2 days just isn't enough. So my memory is that it's a 3-day stretch. And it's coming up, and oh my gosh, I don't have that in front of me right this minute. They'll have to go on Facebook and find it.
And, how do they find you on Facebook, and what is the URL for your website?
It's Festival of the Goddess. And we have the URL is the website is live. The website is live, and it's www.festivalofthegoddess.com, I think. Now, we've changed it up a couple of times in the last couple of years. Hold on. I'm getting my special thing right in front of me now. It is... yes, festivalofthegoddess.com. And the date is October 3rd through 6th. And we are honoring Tara this year.
Ooh.
Yeah, Tara. She's pretty special and very widely known, as it turns out. There's a Hindu Tara, Buddhist Tara. Gosh, I don't even know how many places she turns up. But her identity is pretty well recognized cross-culturally, it seems like. And our focus for this goddess is invoking invincible courage and power. But she's also called the Mother of Liberation. And she represents the virtues of success and work and achievements. But there's a whole series of Taras that are identified by a color, like green, white, red, blue, black. And so they each have a certain attribute, but each one of those is just a piece of the whole. And as you know, you can focus on a piece to get to the whole. It makes you closer that way. That can work for people.
So, well, it sounds absolutely amazing, Jane, and I just thank you so much for coming on our show, and I'm going to see if I can get there. Like I said, my mom lives in Austin, and so does my daughter.
You should be here! Oh my gosh!
I know, so that might just be my excuse, is I've got to go see my mom, go see my daughter, because she's in school, and then maybe kidnap my daughter on the way back.
Make her move back home with me.
Drag her along.
Oh no, if I go, everybody will go.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, it's quite the rage. We have everything from nursing babies to ancient crones with great wisdom that we've done Council of Crones. We've had all kinds of things go on. We usually have a ritual, a change ritual for women, you know, first blood, and it's babies. Menopause, you know, if you stop bleeding. So it's powerful. And women don't get those recognitions often enough. So that's a cool thing that we do there too. It's just very empowering. And I would love all my women friends to be able to come. Well, I hope you show up. That'd be pretty awesome.
We're going to put you on our website and on our Facebook page so that people will see you. And again, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. Like I told you earlier, you are one of our favorite interviews. So thank you so much. And now we are going to go into a little bit of a teaching mode. So we will be right back.
Hi, everyone. It's Bea Divine here. And today I just wanted to talk with you about psychic attacks. Most people are in today's day and age in very highly stressed situations with their work, with their family, trying to juggle everything in their life. And you might be going through a stage in your life when you are more depressed or your thoughts are more cloudy than ever before. This might start getting worse and worse, and you might even go to the doctor and they prescribe you with depression. But one thing is sure, certain, and that is that when we're a light worker and we're developing our spirituality, we are starting to become more sensitive to all the harsh negativity in the world. And this is including people that we might work with or even family members. And you get around them and they start with their harshness and you start finding that you're pulling yourself back from a lot of different situations. And this happens more and more as you develop your spirituality. But one thing that could be happening is people might be talking about you or angry at you, or you've done something in your past and that person is still viciously calling you names and things like this. And what happens is we actually get an attack from this person to our psyche or to our inner etheric field, so our auric field, sorry. And let's get tongue-tied. And What happens with that is all these daggers or negative emotions are thrown at our body, and of course, being sensitive, we are picking it up and not really realizing what it is. And so this is what is known as a psychic attack. If you've ever sat with a group of friends and you've, you know, talked about this one's life and, oh, they should be doing this and they should be doing that and how can that girl be with that guy and, you know, all that sort of general chit-chat, you've actually sent negative vibes to that person. And whether that person is conscious of it or not, they will eventually start to feel bogged down by this, which causes them depression, and then they don't know what's going on and there's no doctor that can fix them. For myself, I went through, well, if you read my life story, you might have realized that my youngest son does not live with me. And so he hasn't been with me for about 9 years now. And so a lot of the times I've struggled with this, I've thought, you know, something is cursed. I've got, you know, such bad luck. How could this happen to me? I just love my children. I just want them to be happy. And this, you know, this happens. I thought it was a direct punishment against me. But during that whole time, there was a lot of bad language at each other between me and my ex. And, you know, this weighed on my soul for so long. And I spent almost a year almost just not being able to get out of bed and almost comatose in how I looked. I was just stunned almost with life and what was happening to me. And so this was a massive psychic attack against me, and also a lot of what I was projecting was coming back towards me. And so the angels talked to me about protecting myself and being lifting myself above the problem, raising my levels so that I'm not attracting these negativity, you know, negative people, places and situations anymore. I'm actually attracting people that are more on my wavelength. And so as you go about this, you are going to need a lot of protection daily. And if you've already had a psychic attack against you, and chances are you've probably got thousands that have built up, this is a great little tip so that you can release yourself and also build a wall of light inside you that will stop anything from coming towards you, and also heal any wounds that have already been created. So basically, all you need to do, once again, call on Archangel Michael. Number one, bring him to your side. And it's as simple as saying, Archangel Michael, I need your help right now. Please, just come to my side and protect me. So you've got Archangel Michael there. Also, you ask your guardian angel to come and bring the band of mercy, the healing angels, the mighty healing angels, to all come and congregate around you. Then you're going to say, look, angels, I feel like I am under some sort of attack here. I just want to be sure. I want to get rid of all the negativity, and I want you to please shield me right now from any type of harm coming my way. Please put a beautiful golden rainbow light around me. It shimmers with the gold, and put one inside me, a fuchsia light, that will stimulate all my cells again and make me strong and healthy. I really want to get out of what I feel at the moment. I really want to push myself forward, and I just feel like I need you to please help me so that I can see the light at the end of the tunnel and I can stop feeling so depressed and my luck will change. And so this is all you do. You're calling in these angels, and they bring with them at least 1,000 helpers, so you can imagine. And as I'm telling you this, I'm feeling really, really, really warm. And Archangel Michael will actually make you feel like you're on fire sometimes when he's near you. But this is how you heal from a psychic attack. Now, if you are in a really, really bad state like I was explaining, sort of catatonic and a zombie, if you're really in this bad state, I would suggest that you try to do this for a week, because you're still going to hang on to those emotions and you're still going to hang on to your worries for a little bit of a while. I mean, everybody does it. The angels always clear things instantly, but we as humans will go back over it and, oh my God, how am I going to get out of this? Blah. You know, we drive ourselves crazy with trying to find solutions to everything instead of just focusing on this one thing. Once you have had this clearing, once you've listened to this video, basically you've said it in your mind and it's already happened to you, you are going to be able to do a lot more things. All your memory will come back. It might not come back straight away, but you'll start to remember a lot of things. Psychic vision will suddenly be cleared and you'll have glimpses of things, but it won't be negative at all. you might still go back to finding yourself in harsh situations and listening to people talking about each other and complaining about their life and all of that. But you'll just sort of be able to distract yourself from it a little bit. And I find that myself. I can sort of turn my hearing off or something. As soon as I've left there, I'm like, oh, please, you know, cover me, release me from anything. So this is what a psychic attack is, and this is how you protect yourself from it. It's very, very simple. You must always ask for the angelic forces to be near you. Ask for universal angels. Ask for whoever you can think of to help you through this moment in your life. And I guarantee you that you'll feel a lot better, strengthened from within, and you'll be able to pick up when a psychic attack has come your way. So I thank you for listening. I really hope it made sense to you and has helped you. And angel blessings to everybody, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
I have to block out thoughts of you so I don't lose my head. They're crawling like a cockroach, leaving babies in my bed, dropping little reels of tape to remind me that I'm alone. Playing movies in my head that make a porno feel like home. There's a burning in my pride and a nervous bleeding in my brain. An ounce of peace is all I want for you. Will you never call again? And will you never say that you loved me just to put it in my face? And will you never try to reach me? It is I that want to
say. Hate me today!
It's one accomplishment that you helped me with. The one thing that always tore us apart is the one thing I won't touch again. In my sick way, I wanna thank you for holding my head up late at night. While I was busy waging wars on myself, you were trying to stop the fight. You never doubted my warped opinions on things like suicidal hate. You made me compliment myself when it was way too hard to take. So I'll drive so far away that I never cross your mind, and do whatever it takes in your heart to leave me behind.
Hate me today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Cityspell Show, normally with Teresa and Lisa, but instead it's with Lisa and Superman Josh. So now is the time that I thought that we could do a little bit of news, and it has been a slow week for witchy news this week, so the two little stories that we have for you are not witchy related at all. In fact, well, I don't have T doing her dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, so I'm just going to do that.
Lisa, let's face it, you're probably not going to top vagina ghosts anyway.
Probably not. I don't think there is. However, one little piece of news that I found, I thought would be very interesting for everyone. 6 ways getting horizontal makes you healthy. Yeah, I went there. T's going to kill me if she ever finds out. Okay, so we all know how sex feels good, but it also does good things for our health. And the answer is yay! Your sexual health is a reflection of your overall health, says Ian Kerner, a New York City-based sex counselor and author of She Comes First. I like that person already.
How is come spelled?
C-O-M-E-S.
No fun.
Researchers delving into the science of sex have found that getting down does everything from improve self-esteem to lower the risk of certain diseases. Conversely, if you don't have much of a libido, it means there could be a problem. If you're not feeling sexual, that's usually an indication that something else is going on with your life, says Kerner. You could be depressed, out of shape. You might not be eating right. You might be stressed out. Identifying and addressing those issues is essential, says Kerner, because our sexual experience ripples through into virtually every aspect of our lives. Sexual activity offers some of these off-the-charts benefits, not available in pill form. It might help your heart. Yep, a strong erection equals a strong heart, according to the 2008 study published in the Journal of American College of Cardiology. Erectile dysfunction, ED, is clearly linked to poor cardiovascular health.
Lisa, that's some hard, that's some hard science there.
Researchers studied 2,300 men and found that the subjects with ED had a 58% higher risk of coronary heart disease. Though there are other causes of ED, if you find your friend flagging, guys, get to your doctor. So if you're limp, get to the doc. It could save your heart. It may decrease your risk of prostate cancer. 2004 study published in the Journal of American Medical Associations found that 29,000 male subjects, those who had 21 ejaculations a month, whether with a partner or alone, were significantly less likely to get prostate cancer later in life than those that had only 4 to 7 a month. It can help your job. Anthropologist Helen Fisher found that regular sex improves your problem-solving skills, heightens creativity, and fosters better cooperation, among other things.
like hand-eye coordination?
Exactly. I was thinking that same thing. By releasing dopamine and oxytocin, a.k.a. the happy-making chemical in the brain, it makes you look younger. That afterglow is no illusion. One study out of Scotland kept tabs on 3,500 European and American women and men who looked young for their age, an average of 7 to 12 years younger than they actually were. After tracking these lucky people for 10 years, researchers found the number one factor they all had in common was regular exercise. The number two factor? Yep, healthy, active sex life. In fact, most of the study participants had sex 2 to 3 times a week, all in the context of a committed relationship. Word to your mother. And anyone else having sex should be meaningful. Casual sex is just not. Anyway, okay, that was in there. I didn't make that up. It eases stress. Right before orgasm, women often go into a trance-like state. Not with my ex, but with other people, maybe. Says Kerner, activating parts of your brain that greatly help with stress relief. That's why he recommends regularly indulging in comfort sex, kind of like Nikki that happens in the same place at the same time using the same position. It may not be that enthralling, but it can help women go quickly into a deeply relaxed state. And it wakes up the brain. Just as important as comfort sex, says Kerner, a regular doses of the kind of sex that stimulate the imagination with fantasy and excitement.
Among stimulating other things.
Sexual arousal is a combination of physiological and psychological arousal. We often lose the mental component that's all about stimulating the imagination and the mind. He also emphasizes the benefits of corralling all the sensual pathways to sex, sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell. He encourages not only regular sex once a week, at least, but also a sex life that includes it all, comfort, adventure, and all the senses. The pro-sex study seemed practically endless. Sex improves sleep, happiness, Kegel strength, just about anything you can think of. So if you're in a sexual rut, do what you need to do to get out of it. So
if you've got a monkey, spank it.
Spank that monkey, baby. Spank it. So that's your little sex tip of the day.
All right. The one Lisa gave me to read. Actually, it's not that difficult, but I noticed a typo right off the bat. And I'm going to read it.
I did too. I thought that.
I'm going to read it with the typo, so it's not just so you guys know I'm not being an idiot here. Hopefully meeting your loved one in a graveyard comes after a long relationship. In the case of a self-proclaimed goth, Lauren Anderson, the relationship started in a graveyard, but the morbid meeting was appropriate given that both were goths growing up in the Connecticut town. I lived on one side of the cemetery and he lived on the other, and I'd drive by his big house all the time and I'd hear his great music coming out of it, Anderson told HuffPost Live on Friday. Over and over, we missed each other because we would hang out at the graveyard with friends and I would hang out there with mine. Eventually, fate pointed its black polished fingernail at the two of them. That is such horrible alliteration right there, by the way. One day, it was just fireworks, she said. He had on these striped stockings and long black hair. He's so perfect. Anderson, who currently works at Gothic Renaissance, a New York-based boutique store for goths, insists she didn't get into the lifestyle as a way of rebelling against her parents, like Lisa did.
Shut up.
Far from it, she comes from a long line of pagans and goths, including her mom, who was writing Anne Rice-inspired fan fiction back in the 80s. Editor's note, not something to be proud of, but whatever. Contrary to conventional wisdom, Anderson didn't consider herself to be a tormented soul either, despite an appearance that some might consider extreme. I've been very happy for most of my life, she said, but I think my creative parts fulfill me. Well, if you go to Lisa's story, they fulfill her even more. Anderson's happiness doesn't seem to fade even when she leaves New York to visit her mom, who now lives in Indiana, and the more conservative citizens react to her extreme appearance. Some people call me Antichrist and pull their children out of the way, she said. Whatever, life's a party.
I think it was kind of a cute story. I thought it was sweet.
I thought it was, honestly, it was kind of dumb in the fact that, oh, these two lone goths who are so outside of the world have finally found, oh, shut up. Shut up and quit whining.
But they saw each other across the graveyard. It was like kismet.
That's sad. Speaking of kismet, though.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to be starting a new segment with T and not me,
yes,
on this show relatively soon, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We are going to be starting to do reviews of television shows and movies and books. We're going to do the whole thing, but they're all obviously going to be pagan witchy related. So Superman had an idea that we should watch. What is it called again?
Lords of Salem, the new Rob Zombie movie, which comes out this week. But this is something how I want the audience to get involved. Send Lisa and Teresa your picks. A witch-centric, pagan-centric, something like that movie. I mean, it can be some old burn, witch, burn, or it doesn't have to be something positive, because that's the whole point of them reviewing this. Send them your picks. What movies, what TV shows you would like them to look at. I think that would be a great way for you to interact with your audience.
I think it sounds like fun. I just won't have popcorn.
You don't need popcorn after what happened to you this week.
No, popcorn bad. So I think that's a great idea, and I think it'll be a fun thing for T and I to do. And I think having our listeners tell us what to do is kind of fun.
But if they do want to send you a suggestion, where can they do so?
We've got our Facebook page, which is, Facebook/CitaSpell, I think. Either that, or you can also email to the CitaSpell show. It's CitaSpell.net, or is it .com? Oh my God, I suck.
Facebook.com/CitaSpell show.
CitaSpell show. Thank you. I'm such a goddess right now. I think the caffeine is starting to wear off because I'm starting to get dumb.
Do you guys see why I'm producer of this show? Because I need to keep the damn thing running.
Off the rails. So, do you think that I hijacked the show good enough where T'll be like, what did you do?
Possibly. Very possibly. She'll also probably ban me from speaking.
I think you were great. You're a great co-host. Thank you for doing that for me, by the way.
It was out of desperation, by the way. She comes to me right before the show. I don't think I can fill the show myself. I need you to help me.
Well, what am I going to talk? Who am I going to talk to? Myself? I could talk to Bear, but she's not speaking.
You talk to your audience, Lise.
I know, but they don't talk back.
They do.
Well, I know.
Well, yeah. But I also come from a radio background, so I know what it's like to talk to invisible people.
Oh, you know what we should do, though? We should start. Why don't you guys start emailing us questions and we'll answer them on air, too. That would be fun.
Do you have an email you'd like to send them to?
You know what? You can go to my personal one. It's pracmac7, P-R-A-C-M-A-C, the number 7, @gmail.com. So pracmac7 @gmail.com. Send me your questions and we will read them on the air and we will answer them. I think that'll be fun.
So I enjoyed hanging out with you for this hour. And I actually kind of am curious what would have happened if I hadn't have been here, watch you flailing around for an hour.
It wouldn't have been pretty. It would have been really ugly. I'd been like, yeah, about that. And then I put myself to sleep. That's no fun.
Oh, so it would have been like an episode of More Questions Than Answers. Oh, wait, that's not around anymore.
Oh, nicely done.
Do you want to play us out?
Yeah. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It has been fun. Funny. I'm going to get in trouble from T, I'm sure. But remember that you are all special and important in every single way. Go out there and make a difference in somebody's life, even if it's just, you know, smiling at them. Let somebody get the parking spot. Let somebody merge in front of you. Life is too short, my darlings. So remember to always, always, always take back your light. Blessed be.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm packing up my game and I'ma head out west, where real women come equipped with scripts and fake breasts. Find a nest in the hills, chill like Flint. Buy an old drop top, find a spot to pimp. Then I'm a kid, rock it up and down your block, go with a bottle of scotch and watch lots of crotch. Buy a yacht with a flag saying chillin' the most, then rock that bitch up and down the coast. Give a toast to the sun, drink with the stars, get thrown in the mix and tossed out of bars. Sip the Tijuana, I wanna roam, find Motown, tell them fools to come back home. Start an escort service for all the right reasons, and set up shop at the top of Four Seasons. Kid Rockin', I'm the real McCoy, and I'm headed out west, sucker, because I wanna be a cowboy, baby,
with a top left back and the sunshine shining.
Cowboy, baby,
west coast chillin' with the moon
flying. Train rolls in, it goes like dust in the wind. I once was lost,
but now I'm just blind.
Palm trees and weeds, scab knees and rice. Get a map to the stars, find Heidi Fleiss. And if the price is right, then I'm gonna make my bid, boy, and let California hate. No one to call me a
cowboy, baby, with a top that back and the sunshine shining.
Cowboy,
West Coast chillin' with the boom flying.
I wanna be a cowboy, baby,
riding at night cause I sleep all day.
Cowboy, baby,
I can smell a thing from a mile away.
Cowboy, 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 cowboy. Cityspell is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.